Oppenheimer at Los Alamos, Beta said, was very different from the Oppenheimer I had known. For one thing, the Oppenheimer before the war was somewhat hesitant, diffident. The Oppenheimer at Los Alamos was a decisive executive. Beta was hard-pressed to explain the transformation. The man of pure science he knew at Berkeley had been entirely focused on exploring the deep secrets of nature. Oppenheimer had not been remotely interested in anything like an industrial enterprise, and yet at Los Alamos he was directing an industrial enterprise. It was a different problem, a different attitude, Beta said, and he completely changed to fit the new role. He rarely gave orders, and instead managed to communicate his desires, as the physicist Eugene Wigner recalled, very easily and naturally, with just his eyes, his two hands, and a half-lighted pipe. Beta remembered that Oppie never dictated what should be done. He brought out the best in all of us, like a good host with his guests. Robert Wilson felt similarly. In his presence, I became more intelligent, more vocal, more intense, more prescient, more poetic myself. Although normally a slow reader, when he handed me a letter, I would glance at it and hand it back prepared to discuss the nuances of it minutely. He also admitted that in retrospect, there was a certain amount of self-delusion in these feelings. Once out of his presence, the bright things that had been said were difficult to reconstruct or remember. No matter, the tone had been established. I would know how to invent what it was that had to be done. Oppenheimer's frail, ascetic physique only accentuated his charismatic authority. "The power of his personality is the stronger because of the fragility of his person," John Mason Brown observed some years later. "When he speaks, he seems to grow, since the largeness of his mind so affirms itself that the smallness of his body is forgotten." He had always had a knack for anticipating the next question to be faced in solving any theoretical physics problem, but now he surprised his colleagues with his seemingly instantaneous comprehension of any facet of engineering. "He could read a paper. I saw this many times," recalled Lee DeBridge. "And you know, it'd be 15 or 20 typed pages, and he'd say, 'Well, let's look this over and we'll talk about it.' Oppie would then flip through the pages in about 5 minutes, and then he'd brief everybody on exactly the important points. He had a remarkable ability to absorb things so rapidly. I don't think there was anything around the lab of any significance that Oppie wasn't fully familiar with and knew what was going on." Even when there was a disagreement, Oppenheimer had an instinct for preempting arguments. David Hawkins, the Berkeley philosophy student Oppenheimer had recruited to serve as his personal assistant, had many opportunities to observe his boss in action. One would listen patiently to an argument beginning, and finally Oppenheimer would summarize, and he would do it in such a way that there was no disagreement. It was a kind of magical trick that brought respect from all those people, some of them superiors in terms of their scientific record.